The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So, summer's just around the corner. Thousands of people are getting set to jet across Europe, but there are growing concerns that some of those flights won't even get off the ground. Last summer, travellers experienced the worst air traffic control delays since 2001, and the same, I'm afraid, is expected for this year. Now, to tackle the issue, Ryanair are calling for reforms to increase staff numbers and the deployment of better technology. And to tell us more about their case is Jade Kirwan, Head of Communications at Ryanair. Jade, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, first of all, we think of strikes, but it's more than strikes can put us back on the ground when we should be in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, over the years, strikes have been a problem, but the big problem at the moment is staff shortages. So across Europe, we're seeing huge staff shortages, which are just getting worse and worse. 2024 would have been the worst year on record since the 1990s, where strikes would be the primary issue. And what we see now, 25 years later, is even though since COVID, traffic is still down. Now, it's recovering this year, but if you look at 2024, for example, there was 5% less flights than there would have been in 2019 pre-COVID. But because the ATC providers had let go of staff during COVID and were not able to recuperate that staff, at the same time, they'd halted training, so there was nobody coming up the ladder to replenish.
Okay, so COVID happened, flights are grounded, although I know that Ryanair kept their pilots in the air to make sure they didn't run out of hours. So air traffic controllers were just let go.
Absolutely. And again, when they were invited back, not everyone wanted to come back. And at the same time, because training had been paused, there was nobody else to fill those places.
So there's no pipeline of air traffic controllers coming
up. Exactly. And again, one of the issues that we're looking at is the fact that training is so extensive in its duration. So if you look at France, for example, you could an air traffic controller takes up to 5 years.
I find that vaguely reassuring that they're so skilled after 5 years, they really know what they're doing.
It really is. But then you look in contrast to the likes of Ireland and UK, where they're getting the same level of training, but doing so within 16 to 18 months. So it's just that bit quicker up the line.
Just the French, again, doing what the French do. Now, what will happen? I mean, how will this manifest itself in terms of flights maybe not even taking off?
Yeah, so what results is this year, for example, with air traffic across Europe returning to pre-COVID levels, we're still seeing that headcounts are down. So that effectively means, it's like if you take, for example, the M50, if you close a lane on the M50, you can see huge congestion builds up, and it's the exact same in the sky. So each airport or airspace will have certain sectors. The Canaries, for example, last year had 11 sectors, and that means that they have the adequate number of air traffic controllers to manage those sectors. This year, they've reduced that to 10, but the traffic volumes are up. So you can imagine you're putting more traffic in with less capacity. So naturally, it's going to cause delays. And of course, that will mean delays for departures, but also delays in landing, and then knock-on delays, of course, as a result of that.
But can you have flights cancelled simply because maybe the pilots are on the tarmac, we're all buckled up, ready to go, and then the pilots run out of hours?
Yeah, and Jude, as we have seen that happen now, it is primarily in the delay area more so. But what can happen is the first wave, if it's knocked on, do you incur delays throughout the day? And again, crew have a certain amount of hours to operate. So again, that can cause a cancellation. Also, a lot of airports across Europe will have curfews and very strict curfews. So if you hit that curfew and you're not off the ground,
you're not going to fly.
Unfortunately, you're not flying. And that also means that your aircraft is out of position for the next day. So it could also have a knock-on onto the following day.
Now, we saw the it doesn't involve Ryanair because you don't fly stateside, but we saw what happened in Newark where, you know, literally there weren't enough air traffic controllers to control what was happening, and therefore flights had to divert elsewhere. I mean, what do we need to do? Because, as you say, even training in Ireland or the UK, where it might take between a year and a half and 2 years to get someone ready, that's still a slow enough pipeline, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So is this problem going to remain for the foreseeable?
It is. Like, there's some pauses on recruitment in, I say, the likes of the Canaries, for example. It's a pause out to 2028, which just isn't good enough. And what we're actually calling for is two very simple reforms that we believe would alleviate about 90% of European ATC delays. And they are, one, for national transport ministers to ensure adequate staffing of their ATC services. So easy ways to do that is to, again, bring training to kind of harmonise it across Europe so that there's a max of 2 years training period. Again, harmonising things like equipment and procedures so that people can not just support their own airspace, but equally if there's capacity issues elsewhere, that they can
take
manage
over.
Exactly,
yeah.
They can take over and manage into across borders, I suppose. And again, it's just like ultimately the funding for this is provided by airlines, so it doesn't affect state budgets or anything like that. So all they need to do is tick the box, give a green light, and that will look after itself.
Now, what about the thing that Michael has been very vocal about over the years, which is when the air traffic controllers in France strike, and they do with monotonous regularity, the idea of being able to overfly while under the control of Eurocontrol rather than the local French air traffic controllers. Where are we with regard to that campaign?
So there's been no progress on that, and it's really disappointing. Like back in this summer 2023, throughout 2023, we had over 60 days of French ATC strikes, which 2 months out of the whole year is hugely significant. So last year, those numbers were a little bit better, but still not completely eradicated. And what effectively happens is minimum services kick in, and as part of that, French flights, so some flights to and from France are protected. Whereas the overflights then, which particularly actually affect the likes of Irish passengers because of our geographical location, we naturally have to fly over a lot of these locations. And what that means then is our flights get cancelled. So if you're flying from Dublin to Rome, you're not going near France. France isn't on your radar at all. But because you overfly it, your flight could be delayed or worse, cancelled. And there has been no progress in that. But again, that's something that we're calling to be legislated.
Now, besides the French striking, and I'm not sure if there are any currently scheduled for France, but they seem to come upon us fairly suddenly. Are there any other air traffic controllers in Italy or Belgium or the Netherlands who are threatening industrial action this summer?
So there has been kind of whispers across the board, but again, nothing imminent at the moment. But again, I suppose it can't just be reactive. It's something that we need to be proactive on and make sure that there is that legislation in place so that when strikes do arise, because it is inevitably going to happen, that we have that kind of certainty and security for our passengers.
Now, there's another issue which will affect Ryanair, and that is the move to investigate the baggage charges operated by various airlines, including yourselves, for cabin baggage. The idea being you're supposed to be allowed to bring on the things that you might vitally need. I mean, if you were needed medication or anything or sanitary products, whatever, you have to have a bag allowed on for free.
Yeah,
so absolutely. What's the story?
Yeah, so again, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it primarily being led by these consumer associations. So Ryanair, like all airlines, allow all our passengers, so each and every passenger as part of their basic fare, can bring on a generously sized personal bag. So that is a bag which is 40 by 20 by 25 centimetres. So within that bag then, I personally will always travel with that bag for overnights for work and stuff like that. And again, fit my laptop in, fit a change of clothes, fit toiletries, all the rest of it. So it's more than ample space for a trip overnight or even for a weekend. So as that's under EU law. So that's EU regulation 1008/2008. And again, what the misperception is the consumer associations are effectively saying that we should be adding in the 10 kg cabin bag. But the way airlines do it at the moment promotes, I suppose, choice and flexibility. Not everyone wants to carry a 10 kg. And if you have to, and what actually allows us to offer low fares is being able to decouple that.
Yeah, I mean, other people say you used to be able to take on your 10 kg bag included in the price of the ticket. Now you add on. So the question is, how significantly cheaper is the no-frills ticket where you just have that personal bag, which is about 40 by 20 by 25, just in old money, it's about 15 inches by 8 by 10. So, you know, you can fit a lot of stuff in that, and it has to fit under the seat in front of you.
That's it, yeah. So that would be placed under the seat in front of you.
So how much cheaper might the ticket be if I only take that bag with me?
Yeah, Joe's actually, I don't have the prices to hand, but it would be significantly cheaper. Again, it's the cost of your 10 kg effectively that you're saving. And the reason for that being flexibility for customers. If we were to put that in again, it would mean that fares would go up as a result. But also we have to be cognizant of the fact that there's only limited space on the aircraft. So not every passenger could carry a 10 kg bag. We have to be cognizant of that.
There's also
a
rule, isn't there, that any duty-free you buy in an airport, you have to be able to carry it on.
Yes, so we allow people to carry two duty-free bags as well as their personal bag as well.
Because often you see people with pucks and trucks and everything, you know, you have a 10 kg bag, which they paid for, I presume, and then they have a rucksack on their back and a rucksack on top of the rucksack and, you know, the divil and all.
Yeah.
But anyway, you don't know what they paid, in truth. None of us know what another person has paid for
exactly
that privilege. All right, well, we'll see how all of that unfolds. But in the meantime, we hope there'll be some movement on recruiting air traffic controllers. We all want to get there, and we want to get there safely. Jade Kerwin, who's head of communications at Ryanair. Thank you very much, Jade, for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.